running at your own pace. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue. We're asking the question, what is replacement theology? And very briefly, replacement theology, and we'll get into further details of it. Replacement theology is simply saying that Israel, God is no longer dealing with Israel, that Israel is a non-existent entity in God's sight, and the church has replaced Israel. And so therefore, whatever promises God made to Israel are the promises to the church today. They've taken text out of context in the book of Romans. They've taken text out of context in the book of Galatians. They've taken text out of context in what is stated in the book of Genesis, and making a theology that does not exist, biblically speaking. It is interesting. By the way, I'll put on this little footnote in before we take our next caller. Back a number of years ago, I was dealing sincerely with a person that was a Calvinist, dyed-in-the-wool Calvinist, replacement theology person, and he was unconvinced of my arguments and debate with him on it. I said, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's fly over to Israel, and let's go into the record room, whatever it's called there, and claim our land. He said, what do you mean? I said, if the church is replacement Israel, then we own the land. Not the Jewish people that's there now. Let's go claim our land. He turned around and walked off. That's how ridiculous it is to say that the church has replaced Israel. I believe Marshall is on the line. Marshall, go over the question or comment, please.
Welcome back, Doc. It certainly is good to hear your voice, and what a timely subject. Again, I had no intention of calling in, but I can't keep quiet.
That's
And you would say, well, he's never quiet anyway, so... I hope your audience is listening well and that they'll pass on to others. There is only one correct theological view for the time we live in, and it grew out of the Reformation era, the era of the Reformation, and that's dispensational theology.
Amen.
Well, wait a minute. Dispensational theology was sort of the 19th century thing. Well, it was. But because of the error of and I'm going to explain this in a minute, the era of the Reformation and a serious error that was in there, replacement theology was kind of codified in the Protestant church, having evolved from the Catholic church. And the reason it did was because of the Mamluks that controlled all of North Africa and the Levant region. There was no way that according to the existing understanding of the time, that the people of Israel would ever return to their promised land, because the Mamluks had it so locked up that the Catholics and the Protestants believed that that something's wrong here with the Bible. It's not going to happen. So they came up with replacement theology. The church has replaced the Jews. And that was, that actually became codified in Christianity because of Hosea 4:6. My people perish for lack of knowledge.
That's right.
We didn't understand, like today, the people back then really didn't understand the Bible because it was chained to the altar. If you'll recall, that was one of the reasons of the Reformation. And at the time, the Daniel 12:4 was not able to be understood. Daniel 12:4 says, okay, Daniel, now close up the words of this book that I've been explaining to you now since Daniel 1:1, because you're not going to be able to understand it until a particular time when men shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall abound. And that wasn't until the 19th century when people began to go faster than the speed of a horse, the iron rail, and Bibles could be sent all over around the world on ships and trains and all the other stuff. Here's the point. I know this is nebulous to this point, but dispensational theology is the only theology that explains what God has been doing from beginning to end. It explains why the church, both Catholic and Protestant, didn't respond to the extermination attempt by Hitler of the Jews in World War II. They were largely indifferent to it because we really didn't understand the truth of Revelation chapter 3, verse, I think, 7 through 12, in the church of Philadelphia, when God said to the small, weak church, which really kind of represents dispensational theology, because not too many people really comprehend it or get it, he said, because of your faithfulness, little small church, I'm going to set before you an open door that no man can close. Your message is not going to be hindered. And I'm going to cause those who are the synagogue of Satan to bow at your feet. Those are the ones who basically say that, I know this is a little reinterpretation, I apologize, but it's true, who say that the church has replaced the Jews. That can't be true. God doesn't break his promises. And we are privileged to live in a day right now, in which time is getting shorter and shorter. The rapture is imminent.
Amen.
90% of the church doesn't believe that because they're still stuck in the Reformation era when Calvin said, well, the book of Revelation is just metaphor at best and maybe moral teaching, but we don't need to deal with Revelation. So he never wrote a treatise on the book of Revelation, John Calvin the Nut.
Right.
But he did on every other book of the Bible. So when you disregard that, you miss those first three verses of chapter 1 that says, basically, blesses the man who reads, heeds, and understands the word, and does the words of this particular book. I think the only book in the Bible with a promise locked to it because of an action other than the Malachi verse on tithing. We live in an age, Doc, with what you were preaching. Thank God you're back on the air. What you were preaching is exactly right. The dispensational message was hidden by the acts of the Reformation, both out of the Catholic Church and out of the emerging Protestant Church. It was not until the 19th century when Daniel 12:4 began to be applied again, because 100 years down the road, Israel was going to be returned to the Promised Land. Mm-hmm. Satan was doing everything he could to keep America, because I think God used us very powerfully to emerge the true gospel, which is, in fact, the dispensational gospel, that has now gone around the world. The high churches have not done it. They've lifted up the name of Jesus. They've kept that name in play and the idea of Christianity in play. But the real effective meat of the gospel is what you preach. It's what dispensational theology that really began to be understood when it could be understood in the 19th century, and then going into the 20th century when Israel was reborn. I sit here incredulous that people are going to perish for lack of knowledge of the Bible and of history, because if you go back and look at the interactions around the time of the Reformation in the 16th century, when you had the high conflict between Luther and Pope Leo X, who was quite a pervert anyway, And then the good thing that emerged, the just shall live by faith, we took the Bible off the, it was chained to the altar, and it was put in the hands of the common man, and then Revelation, I'm going to quit here in just a minute, I promise, bear with me. Psalms 119, 97 to 104 really emerged, which simply says, I know more than all my instructors, for you, Father, are my teacher. The Holy Spirit teaches us, and he is not going to vary from what the Bible says. If it varies from what the Bible says, it isn't truth, but the truth does set you free. In the Bible, we understand that our relationship is with Father God. We must have teachers, we must have pastors, but we must know the Word of God. We must follow the admonitions of Proverbs to get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding like we get nothing else, so that we can live effective Christian lives. And the vast number of people today, and I stand on this statement, probably 99.9% of people who say they've read the Word of God have never read it, have never read it through to cover in a reasonable amount of time and allowed the Holy Spirit of God to speak to them. And very few of them, very few of them are aware of history, and particularly what happened in those middle 500 years or so around the Reformation, when Pope Leo was the 10th was battling Luther, and in what 13th, 14th century.
Yes.
We had Unum Sanctum come out. Okay, I'm going to shut up.
No. Marshall, I've got a couple of questions that I think you can answer our listeners today. You talk about dispensationalism and becoming popular, please, in the 19th century. That actually goes back to Darby, 1884. And let me set the stage. Most anti-dispensationalists say that it's a theology that was conjured up by, I believe his first name was John Darby, by Darby himself in 1884, and it's not really biblical. Explain that to our listeners, why it is 100% biblical, and why it just so happens that he started popularizing it and codifying it when he started writing about it, and how dispensationalism is a biblical, theological, doctrinal concept for our listeners.
Okay, you want to negotiate there with the station. It'd be about 6 months to explain this. It's a long course. But I'll give you the shortest version as possible. I think Darby really wasn't a theologian. He was a British detective, I think, who had a great interest in theology. And, well, that's kind of like the people that God uses. And he woke up one day and saw in the developing world, and particularly what was happening in America, a strange coalescence between prophecy and what he was observing, and that is the beginning of the emergence of the recalling of Israel to of the Jews to the state of Israel, which World War One, really the Treaty of Versailles and the end of World War One enabled, because of people who were in charge at that time, particularly some British generals who understood prophecy and believed a dispensational concept. The problem with all of Christianity until that 19th century, when knowledge could abound, and the real problem there was that we didn't have that complete understanding of history, that there was an error in the Reformation, which the big one was the church had replaced the Jews and made God to be a liar. Darby one day understood, wait a minute, God's not a liar. He said the Jews would return to their promised land. And he saw very clearly that Revelation chapter 3, and I think it's verses 10 through 12, identified those who believe replacement theology as coming from the synagogue of Satan. Because if Satan could allow us to misapprehend the teaching of the Bible and what was coming for him, he could probably divert his judgment, which we see at Revelation 12:10, away, and he could point to God and say, hey, I beat you, when, because of cares of the world, our global population began to go down, reproductive rates fell below 1.8, and it would be mathematically impossible to regenerate in 100 years your population. Everybody went, oh, incidentally, that's where we are in the globe today, except for Islamists. Satan could have caused that to happen. And Darby said, wait a minute, no. What God says was going to happen is going to happen literally. It's absolutely in the future. Revelation's in the future.
That's the literal interpretation that many people object to and fail to see. And Marshall, a little tertiary footnote in Genesis 17:7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee, speaking to Abraham, their generation and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed there after thee. Everlasting is everlasting. Now, with that being said, one of the things that many do not understand the term I've discovered, I've had the privilege of teaching dispensationalism in the college for years and years and years, and I use the illustration. Dispensationalism, for example, we're living today in the Donna Deegan dispensation in Jacksonville, Florida. That's under the that's the stewardship of Donna Deegan, and that's the dispensation that we're now living in. And you had, at the beginning of time, you had the dispensation of innocence until the law was given. And so each dispensation has a distinct, how would you say, understanding of what happens in that dispensation. And yet we, for the general public, general, how would you say, Christian, they see everything as one big blur without recognizing how God dealt with different eras and different times with
one
different
step
people.
At a time.
Yes.
One step at a time to fulfill his ultimate prophecy. The Jews had their purpose was to introduce the one and only living God to the world. They did that, but then they built a big superstructure and they failed. And so in the Christian era, the Catholic Church came along, and it built a big superstructure, and eventually it failed. And then the High Protestant Church came along, and it was lifting up the name of Christ, but because of the teachings of men replacing the teachings of God, or let's say just the bureaucracy of the hierarchy, it failed. But from that came the evangelical community, which really was birthed in America. And the message that Billy Graham, now I'm going to say something heretical here, but hang on. I believe at the bottom of my feet, and I think I can prove it. If I was going to write another book, I'd write on this. It was the Southern Baptist, not the denomination, but the Baptist of the Southeast, the agrarian people, and their black slaves that kind of recreated the very simple gospel of faith. I may not want to have gone there, but essentially it was the simple message of the Baptist Church in the South and the simple gospel of the black slave churches that was what influenced Billy Graham to take his simple message around the world so that the whole world could hear it. The gospel is not complicated. It is not complicated. It is simple, but you can't understand it unless you get into the Bible and know it as well as human history, because history and the Bible leave nothing to the imagination. It is dispensational theology that explains how God works purposefully through Scripture.
And anything outside that realm of dispensational theology makes everything a kind of a juxtaposition with no separation, no segregation, and no real identity. Marshall, I'll let you go with one statement. Romans 11:25-29 talks about the future of Israel. And that 26th verse, the Apostle Paul says, and all of Israel shall be saved. Now, if Israel no longer exists, if the church has replaced Israel, then what does that statement mean? It's simply pointing out the fact, as I read and study the Scripture, that there's coming a day during the days of the tribulation that when it seems as though the Jewish people will be totally eviscerated, totally annihilated, according to Zechariah chapter 12, verses 7 and following, that they will look to Yeshua Messiah, whom we have slain, and say yes to him as Savior, and will be entered into the millennial reign with we and the church age saints. I rejoice with that. If I didn't have any other verse in all the Bible to validate the fact that dispensational theology is real and that the replacement theology is wrong, if I didn't have any other verse than that, I would stand on it. Go back to Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 13, Genesis 17, and you find God's promise over and over and over and over again, not just to give them the land, but for an everlasting covenant. Marshall, thank you so much for your call. You're always a blessing.
One quick addition, Romans 9-11, mm-hmm. Good pastor. That's all we need to know in addition to Revelation 3, 7 through 12. Thanks for taking my call. Welcome back. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your call.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion. We're talking about an important theological, doctrinal, biblical subject today. The issue is, what is replacement theology? Replacement theology, very, very clearly and very uniquely, says in their theological beliefs, there, those that believe in John Calvin and Calvinism, covenant theology, replacement theology, is the same when we look at the terms and what they believe. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand, God made a real covenant with Israel. It's the Abrahamic covenant and also with David. The New Testament teaches that salvation is fulfilled in Jesus Christ and extended to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Why would that be the invitation for salvation is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, to the Greek? Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply talking about the fact that Jewish people today, though their eyes have had scales put on them, today they're not recognizing Yeshua Messiah. But that does not mean that God is through with, that God is finished with, that God has totally stopped dealing with the nation of Israel. Listen. What we see taking place today in the Middle East is part and parcel of God's dealing with the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. There are those that strongly disagree, saying that God is still has a distinct future purpose for Israel, and yet there are those that reject that, say that that is not true. Romans chapter 9 through 11, especially the idea that not all are who are called Israel are truly Israel, and the Gentiles are grafted in. The scripture clearly states. Galatians 3:28 and 29. Believers in Christ are considered Abraham's seed, that is faith people, believing people. And yet there, you'd be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, how many people today will build a whole doctrinal theological misinterpretation because of Galatians 3:28 and 29. 1 Peter 2:9, the church is described in terms similar to Israel, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And there, people that believe in replacement theology will take these verses and others out of context, just literally wrestle them out of their root context and make the scripture say something that God never intended it. But in Romans 11, 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, "Hath God cast away his people?" Paul says, "God forbid." That's a powerful statement. God's not cast away Israel. God's not cast away the Jewish people. In fact, the Apostle Paul talked about the fact he'd be willing to die as a lost man if it would save his people, the Jewish people. The whole point, just as Marshall made just a moment ago, it's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to whosoever will. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is for the Jew first and the Greek also." Ladies and gentlemen, there are people today that's ashamed of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the blessings of God upon the nation of Israel cannot be placed at the doorsteps of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word is very, very clear. God says, in fact, there are a lot of people that will look at the Deuteronomy 28 and 29, the blessings and cursings. That's dealing with the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. It's not talking about the church, but the church is promised a blessing from God if we bless Israel. And I believe it's time that our theologians and our pastors and our churches stop believing Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, which know nothing, zip, zero, nada, dumb as a rock when it comes to biblical, theological, doctrinal truths. And I'm concerned when we see so many people today that's embracing what Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson has to say. I'm looking at the March issue, of Decision Magazine, Ladies and gentlemen, every article in it is an article written by good theological minds to refuse and reject what is called today replacement theology, Calvinism, covenant theology. Let me read you a portion of an article. The title of the article is "God's Promises to Israel Still Hold Today." Replacement theology is nothing new. In fact, from the beginning, Satan has sought to replace God's kingdom with his own. It was Satan who visited Jesus in the wilderness and offered him a replacement, the kingdom of this world, if Jesus would bow down and worship him. The replacement, reproduction, re-envision, and redefinition tactics of Satan have always been a predictable scheme. Satan has always sought to either twist the scripture or to pervert their prophetic fulfillment. Sadly, in many quarters, biblical theology has given way to emotional theology, which is anything but clear. Simply put, replacement theology teaches that the church has replaced Israel in God's redemptive plan. Those who believe in replacement theology believe the Jews are no longer God's chosen people, and that God no longer has a specific future plan for the Jews or the nation of Israel or the promised land. Replacement theology teaches that the promises made to Israel in the Bible are now to be fulfilled in the Christian church, not with Israel. The prophecies in Scripture concerning the blessing and restoration of Israel to the promised land are spiritualized and not realized. They're allegorized and reinterpreted into things regarding the church. Major problems exist with this view, such as continuing existence of the Jewish people throughout the centuries, specifically with the revival of the physical modern state of Israel, which took place one day, May 14, 1948, was recognized by the United Nations, spearheaded by the U.S. President Harry Truman. I'll just cut to the chase, read the end results of what this writer says. I will establish my covenant between me and you as descendants for your generations, etc. Genesis 17:7-8. That's an everlasting covenant. And he says, has the Lord forsaken, my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget the nursing child, etc., etc. It goes to Isaiah 49:14-17. For I will take from among the nations, gather you out of the countries, and bring you into your own land. That was fulfilled in Ezekiel chapter 37, where the nation of Israel was reinstituted as a nation after being in diaspora over the globe for 2,500 years. In Romans 11:1-2, I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. The scripture says in the King James, God forbid. In Matthew 24:15, Jesus clearly teaches that Israel and the temple of Jerusalem will exist in the time of the great tribulation. How can this be if there is no Israel? Ladies and gentlemen, what we see taking place in the Middle East today is the hand of God carrying out the promises of God for the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. We need to, ladies and gentlemen, recognize what the Word of God says without error, without any modification, without any revision needed. God's Word said it. That settles it. We need to embrace it and praise him for it. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7